Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello. When you're that loud in the beginning, I can hear an echo, but it's not bad.
Okay,
so it gives a sense of place.
Well, I always think about, like, I listen to some podcasts, and sometimes they're just like the starts are either really crazy or like not enough excitement. So I try to give like a decent amount of excitement and a decent amount of volume to start it off, so it's not like, hey guys, welcome back. You know, like, it needs to have a little oomph in the beginning, but not too much oomph.
All right. You know, I think that was the proper amount of oomph.
Oomph, just enough to hear the echo in the room, just a hair.
Yeah.
Oofta. All right, Devin, what do you got for us?
If you haven't got anything nice to say about anybody, come sit next to me. And don't be so humble, you're not that great. Just mix a couple together.
It sounds like you did mix a couple together. I was gonna say it sounds like a George Carlin quote or something, like, you're not that great. I like that as a quote, though. Like, that seems like something someone would say, you know, because obviously it's like the play on, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything nice at all.
Yeah, say
but something. Like, it's like a perfect, like, kind of grumpy. It's almost like a High Fidelity, you know, or like George Carlin or some, like, you know, someone who's a grump. Mm-hmm. That's good. And he's like, yeah, and also, like, don't think you're cool because you have nothing nice to say. You're also a shithead.
You're not that great.
You're not that great.
That's funny. All right, everybody, so that's your inspiration for today. You're not that great.
Well, it's funny that you say that.
Who's not that great?
What's the quote? No, it was like, we were talking a little bit about it. So we, Devin, you and I just started shooting the next video, the first video in the new shop. Mm-hmm. And before we started, we were chatting and stuff, and I was talking to you about a show that I've been watching, Poker Face. And in the show, one of the scenes starts with a guy, he's a Subway, you know, employee, and he's filming himself on like a, you know, like a Twitch stream or a TikTok or something. Mm-hmm. And he's live streaming himself making a sandwich, because he's like, you know, it's this lone little teeny, like, gas station town in the middle on the Route 66 out in the middle of the Midwest or something, you know. And so there's no one there. It's just him in the subway all by himself. And he's like there talking to, and he's like all excited, and he's like talking to the people out there. But, you know, then the camera backs up, and it's just like him in this, you know, lit subway in the middle of nowhere. And it's just it's a funny thing to think about, this mindset that we have as content creators. We're so used to talking to people who aren't there in front of us, So like right now, you know, as I'm talking, I'm not thinking about just you. I'm thinking about the people that are listening. So it's always like keeps me in my mind. So I'm like, I'm imagining the people that are listening to this or the people that are watching our videos. And even though it's just you and I in the shop, or it's like me doing like a short or a reel on my phone or something, it's a weird thing to talk to no one, but know you're talking to a lot of people.
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking I'd like to figure out a way to do some type of other series of videos.
Right.
But I don't want to be a like a subject necessarily. You know, where I have to like set up a camera and talk right into the camera.
Right.
I'd have to figure out a different way to do it, because I'm just too embarrassed to do it by myself. Okay. You know, I think everyone should be a little embarrassed. And if you're not, you're probably under the age of 25. You just grew up with it. It's normal.
Yeah.
But for us, it's embarrassing, like to you know, talk on the phone in public or just like take pictures of yourself. Like the whole idea of a selfie is embarrassing.
Right.
Like to a degree. I mean, we've all kind of gotten over it to a certain degree, but it's still, I think our generation, you see someone just taking a selfie of themselves, it's like, wait, what are you doing? I forget who it was, but they were saying, like, imagine if you did that 20 years ago. Where you just took pictures of yourself with a camera and then just showed it to other people. Like, hey, look at this. Like, yeah, it's just a picture of you, like, sitting. Like, yeah, isn't that nice? Like, what are you, nuts?
It's just me. Here I am at the baseball game. And you're
crazy? Like, it's a picture of myself. Okay, you weirdo.
You're like, okay, you're doing self-portraits now? Like, your shtick.
Yeah.
But it's just that, like, you know, kind of the, like, I don't know. I guess there's a type of, like you said, you get, like, there's an embarrassment when you're doing that. And if other people see you doing it, you're like, oh, that's kind of weird. You know, you're trying to play it off. But yeah. There's also, like, obviously a level of narcissism that comes along with that, knowing that you're, like, talking to people, even though they're not there, they will be there eventually, watching or listening. You know, like, right now, we know that there's going to be a couple hundred people listening to this podcast when it comes out. And if we post a video on YouTube, we know there's going to be a couple thousand people that are going to see that. But it's not, like, in the moment, unless we're live streaming, you know, because then you're actually talking to people. But
it's still weird. It's still slightly embarrassing, but
yeah,
this is how it is. It's because we're good people. All right.
Yeah.
You should be embarrassed.
Right.
Don't be so humble. We're not that important.
Right. Exactly. You're not humble enough.
You should be embarrassed with yourself.
So I've been playing with this little tape measure here that I got. So just a little side story. A friend of ours through the education and maker community in Baltimore, Mark Malonis, who owns the company Lukeworks. Lukeworks does concrete fabrication for like high end concrete fabrication, like sinks and art pieces and countertops. You know, they do custom concrete. Mm-hmm. He was visiting our classroom and working with our students, because we're doing a project where we're doing some like cast concrete ends to benches. So it's going to be wooden concrete. So he came over to like give us some pointers and talk to us about some different stuff. And he brought with him this little Stanley 12-foot classic, like Stanley Power Lock, 12-foot tape measure. And I like picked it up because he had it around. He had it on his belt and stuff. And I picked it up at one point, and it had just like really good weight to it. I was like, oh, super nice. And also across the Stanley sticker, he put the sticker, like part of his Lukeworks stickers, and it just says Luke. And I think Luke was his grandfather. I think that's where he got the name. But I liked the like customization of it. You know, it was like, it wasn't a perfect fit, so it wasn't like it was designed exactly for it. It was like he just custom cut it and fit it on. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then he left it in our classroom. So I sent him an email. I was like, hey, I have your tape measure. But so I was at Home Depot the other day and I picked one up, and it's so nice. It's got like some real weight to it. It's not really light, you know, so it feels like it's substantial, has weight to it, but it's 12 feet, which I think is plenty for almost every application I do. You know, like, of course, when I'm, you know, measuring what, like when we build the smithy, right, I'm going to be measuring 16 by 12 or something, right? So I'm going to need a longer tape measure. Or if you're measuring fence lines, which I've been doing, you know, then you need like a longer tape measure. But for the majority of what I do, this is like the perfect size. So I just customized it with my own sticker. I tried to, I was trying to find like one of our stickers, the AOC stickers that was like small enough to show like the logo or the name or something. I considered using one of the little faces from the Hear No Evil, See No Evil, Speak No Evil stickers. But I couldn't like decide on the one I wanted. And so I actually used one of the small Maker Switch stickers, and I just cut the make the switch, the light switch out. And I just stuck that on there.
Nice.
So it's like just the switch. And at first I tried to cut it like a perfect circle, so it would fit over the circular sticker of the Stanley. But it wasn't like clean enough, you know, like the circle wasn't clean enough that it felt weird, you know? And so I was like, kept messing with it. And the switch is like almost exactly the right size to fit inside the circle. So I eventually ended up cutting it out. Like I cut the switch out and just kind of left like a 16th of an inch of white around the switch. So it's on the sticker now, and I'm very pleased with it. So okay, it's got a good weight, got a good feel, you know, it's like those automatic knives that you just want to play with, like in and out the whole time.
Yes.
It's got that too. It's got, yeah, it's giving me the fizz.
I got one somewhere. I got to find that.
I know. I remember that when we played, went to Blade Show 2 years ago.
It was like, it was about 20 podcasts where you probably heard that in the background. Chick, 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 chick.
You even said that at Blade Show. You're like, yeah, definitely going to be playing with this like during podcasts and stuff. Sure enough. Fun.
A fidget toy. I would love to find a different angle for us to go back, a different reason.
Yeah.
Than just general.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm happy to go back. Like the whole point, not the whole point, the.
Just to see everybody.
Exactly. That's the main reason to go back, is to see everybody. Because there's like a ton of awesome makers and stuff there that, that aren't like, you know, they're not maker community makers. They're like knife makers. So it's a different than like Maker Camp, you know, although we see a lot of the same people at Maker Camp too. But,
yeah,
but it's cool. It's also like a good chance to see all these makers that we know. And then also the people that are presenting, like see their cool stuff that they make, you know, it's like a Maker Camp where all they're just there like hanging out and, you know, doing stuff, well, and, but they don't like, you're not like showing off all the best stuff you do, you know?
That's true. Yeah.
So that's a cool thing about Blade Show. You know, like Roy Scott, he'll be there and he's got a bunch of axes and like the real fancy ones.
Is he going to come to Maker Camp though?
I would imagine he probably will.
He wasn't there last year.
Yeah. I'm not sure why. Roy? I can't remember. I think he got sick or something last minute.
Sure. You ever heard that he couldn't talk?
I know. Right. Exactly.
Awesome.
Can't talk.
How are you?
Taking my shirt off all the time, showing all the tattoos.
Yeah. I'll be back. I gotta show my nipples. I've been talking to Evan the whole drive. And I got nothing.
He is one of those people, you know. He's like he's a dude that hangs out in the shop all day. So.
He's a dude. He's a dude. All right.
Good old Roy Scott.
What was I gonna say? Oh, about Maker Camp.
Yeah.
We talked about some things about maybe camping, maybe not, maybe trying to get a room,
right?
You know, be dry for a year. You guys can listen to me snore if I sleep on the floor or something. We all bunk together. That'd be nice. But I wonder if we can ask for a better angle of where what do you call it? Where the shooting range is.
Ah, right.
You know? Because we were on the far, far edge. And if you didn't know that it was there, you didn't know.
Right, yeah. We had a sign over there, but, you know.
Right.
And then, we talked about it a little bit.
And we had a lot of people there.
Yeah.
There was a line, but I would really like it to be facing into the main square instead of kind of off the side.
Right.
You know what I mean? So where anyone walking around the middle of the event space,
you would see people hanging out there. Right, right. That's actually not, you know, not too dissimilar to the way they had it 2 years ago, where it was up on the fence, you know, between where we were camping and where, and you know, where I was demonstrating.
Yeah, it's just so can you like put it where the etching, one of those, you know, those tents right next to it. Like the etching tent, and then across from that's the saw tent. Just put it there on the edge and point it straight
in between
out.
Yeah, like in between two.
Yeah, just because we're not taking up more space necessarily. We, you know, it's
right.
Just have a, and then we need to like consolidate a nicer area so it's not a line.
Right, right.
I was almost thinking like you pull numbers or something. You know what I mean? Like just grab a number. And then because it was a tough line last year.
Yeah, but I mean,
we're fine and having and talking and stuff, but it was, people were just standing around for a long time, like an hour and a half. And that's a long time to wait or, you know. So if, you know, I'd be like, look, can we get like, grab a number and we get some like bales of hay. And like I said, you know, you have some drinks, some sodas and beers and stuff.
Yeah.
Then we're all kind of hanging around.
Right.
You can like commune, you know, and you don't feel like you have to, if you have a number, you feel like you don't have to stand in that spot.
Oh, right. Yes, you're just saying. Yeah, you're just kind of hanging out. And then when your number's called, you're up or whatever. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
You know, because then you can know like, hey, what number were we at? Like, oh, 13's up. And you go, shit, I'm 42.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going. I'll be back.
Right.
And then, you know, we'll call your number. And, you know, if you're not there, you could, you know, we'll have a little time like we did last time. Like, oh, we got some time at the end. Like,
yeah, right. Or if
we'll be here for an extra half an hour.
Yeah, if we're there, if we call 42's not there, you call 43, they're there, and then 44 is there, and then 42 shows up, you just let them hop. You know, like, okay, you were, this was your number, you weren't here at the time, but you can just jump in now, because, you were here before this other person who's been waiting.
Right.
You know, so. Something it's not a bad idea. Yeah, because then, it can be,
Yeah, then you have an idea of the time. Yeah. It's like, hey, you can go walk around and do other stuff. Or just, the main thing is just standing in the line off to the side away from everything.
Right.
People were kind of secluded over there. It'd be better if you could at least hang out in kind of the main middle area.
Right, yeah.
You see people walk by, you can talk to people you know, and just, you know, make small improvements every year.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that happening. Could be like, I don't know. I kind of like that idea. You know, I guess how we had people come up and they, like, wrote their name on the magnet. Mm-hmm. You know, so it could be kind of that way. You know, you write your name on the magnet and the magnet's just numbered or whatever. And so, you know, when you come up to take your turn.
Or literally just hand out, well, that's true, have a magnet and then.
Yeah.
Have a number.
Right. So just like as people come up on the line, they write their name, they stick it up on the one side or whatever. And then when that person's up, you know, you just take them. All right. This next person, you know?
Right. And like we've said before, every like 10 people, just give them another heads up.
Right. Yeah.
Be like, hey guys, hey, thanks for coming in. This is what we're doing. This is how you do this, this and this.
Right. Yeah.
So you don't have to give the rundown just so we can get through people a little quicker.
Yeah. And I would like to, I don't know. You know, I kind of feel like we almost need like two spots, you know, so there can be one spot for people who, you know, feel, I don't know, just like I could have a couple bows that they could just like grab and shoot, you know, you can come up and just shoot. If you want to wait a little bit longer and get some like one-on-one, I can give you some pointers on shooting and aiming and stuff, then, you know, you can hang out. Or it's like we almost need a range, like when you go to the Renaissance Festival and there's like six or seven people,
What you can do is five people at once.
Right, yeah.
And you go, hey, everybody, come on. Yeah, and you teach everyone at once. Right. And you get behind them. You see everyone shoot. People are having a tough time. You walk up to them. Hey, try this. Right, then you can really get through them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's possible.
Right, exactly. That's the problem. I mean, I could do like two people at the same time, you know, two people standing side by side, because it's wide enough to have two people shooting. It's just, you know, if I'm there helping, then it's a little different, but that could be cool. We could do that, you know, just something to get through them. Right. Because the whole point is just to make it fun for everybody, you know,
We don't need people. Yeah. Standing there for 2 hours. Yeah.
Right. There's enough like waiting in line happening throughout the day, you know, when you're like waiting for something cool. Cause like anyone who wants to do like welding a rose, you know, you got to wait in like a line or if, you know, there's like certain times, but so just, like there's waiting, but
we'll have a general area.
Yeah.
Just kind of a hangout area. And do some number system, and then hopefully have it And then if you had it pointing towards the middle of the event space, then you could have some more people watching too.
Right, yeah.
You know, you can kind of sit and watch too. You can kind of peek through and see how people are shooting. That's the only problem with the way it is now. You can't have everyone seeing from, right. If it was open, then we could all be watching.
Right, yeah. If you wanted, you know. Yeah. And I wonder if we could do like, I wonder if it could be like, I don't know, like a sponsored thing. Not, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's like the Art of Craftsmanship Bow Shoot Hour, you know? And it's like, it's about like the art of craftsmanship, not just, I mean, it already is, but that's just like a, you know, it's like, you know, I'm doing demos and then there's the bow shoot time frame and, you know, people can come and shoot. And I guess it's advertised. I can't remember. Yeah, I guess it was advertised. But, it could be more like sponsored, right? So it's like we'll get a sign that says like Dirty Craftsmanship, bow shoot, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I still think it'd be great if you had a bunch of the presenters shoot against each other. So you have right. like one event.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Like, hey, the big shootout will be Saturday.
Right.
At, you know, whenever we can get people to come over. But, you know, you can have all the, a bunch of the presenters that we know.
Right, yeah.
A bunch of the names, like, invite everybody and then have them. It could be fun for people to watch.
Right, exactly. Yeah, come see, you know, like, Chris Cash and Jimmy Duresta and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, I need the...
Just the, yeah, like, Luke and Priscilla Smith, maybe, you know, and, like, and, what's his name? Austin Handel, you know, the owner mm-hmm. of you know, Blackthorn, and maybe
Pat and
yeah
and
yeah I don't know, yeah, that'd be fun. Patty Brooklyn. Get some big name people to come over, you know, and then you have like people like Mareko who are there, you know, so like, and then if you get, you know, in the past they've had a few different older knife makers who come and demonstrate and stuff, or blacksmiths, you know.
No, I think that would actually be really cool. Then we could like make it a thing. Like,
right.
You know, we could like, hey, welcome everybody. Here we go. You know, and just, you know, have like a bullhorn or something.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like the first, you know, annual, Art of Craftsmanship shootout.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you could still do the
shootout,
like,
or something.
Right. Yeah. And you could still do the shoot off, you know, from like for the people who score the highest throughout the weekend or whatever, you know, still do that. Cause sure. I think that worked well.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Know, people like that. And
yep.
Vern
see,
won.
You get a chance, but I would like to see that just as a
right
person going to the event. That'd be cool to see a bunch of the presenters like, right, challenging right. each other. Like, it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have like Jesse Savage, you know, because he's actually an archer. Bring out, get some of the archers, like, be like, yeah. Like, wait, hold on, that's not fair. Yeah, no, that'd be cool. I like it. Yeah, I like, you know, I like just trying to hype it up a little bit more, and yeah, we'll see. I'll reach out to Austin and see what we can do, because he's always into that. He's all in that mindset of like, how can we make it better. Yeah. What can we do? He's like, all right, what did we do this year? You know, he's asked me that 2 years in a row. Like, how did it go? What do you think about, what can we do that, yeah. you know, make it better next year?
Tell him we just a slightly better position. That's not face right. like towards the bathrooms.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. The last one was and kind of tucked away in the corner. If you can just aim us towards the middle.
Right.
And get us some like more hay bales again.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, more, just maybe double hay bales. Then we can have something to sit on. People could sit on those.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, we could have toss them out for a, yeah, for a bunch yeah. of seats.
Uh-huh. And I mean, then, we could do like
and be like, and I was gonna say, yeah, and then tell them, hey, we want to do, what's a time you think a bunch of the maker presenters would be free?
Right.
What's a good time? That is it a nighttime thing where we,
yeah.
But I mean, I know everyone's doing stuff during the day, but it's like, when's a good,
right?
Like, can we do Saturday at like 4 o'clock or something, you know, right, before everyone's eating?
Yeah. Right. Right. Before dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. Yeah. Right. Make an event out of it.
Right. Yeah. Put it on the schedule. Boom. The Saturday at before dinner, everyone's gonna these whatever. 5 or 10 presenters right. are going to come by, and they're going to have a competition, and we'll have like a trophy or something.
Yeah, it could be like the OGs of Maker Camp or something, you know, mm-hmm. the people who were like presented like the first year, you know, when there was like 8 tents instead of like 30.
Right. Or, you know, whoever wants to shoot that are
right
presenters.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, we could do that. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like the, I was thinking maybe also, you know, I don't know if we could do like a sponsored happy hour, but we could, you know, get like, I don't know, 5 cases of Natty Bow or something and have them in a big cooler, that's you know, true. Baltimore beer. We could do something like that too.
And then right, that's another thing with Austin. Koozies. Like, I was thinking, yeah, like you have to check in with Austin about that. Mm-hmm. Like when is a presenter thing? Because then it is like, yeah, I mean, he's selling drinks as well.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
And it is the event. So like, hey, could we also, we're thinking about, yeah, say, yeah, we're going to have some beers.
Yeah.
What do you like, want to do with that? Do you want us to get a sponsor? Is that okay that we,
right,
for an hour? We have,
yeah, because there's like the Brunt Workwear happy hours on, you know, different time, you know, so
it could be the Art of Craftsmanship happy hour shootout, something,
yeah, right,
something
right.
silly like that at 4:00.
Well, I mean, you know, that's well, we'll see, yeah. I was thinking like in the evenings, you know, when it's the like normal, just like the shoot time, free range shoot, you know,
oh, you want to like, do it then,
free shoot happy hour or whatever, because that was usually what that was like. 5 to 7 or something like that. Or,
yeah, but then people were drinking. I feel like it'd be better if it was, it would seem safer if the presenters were shooting and people were drinking. Like it's a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of all the random people who've never shot bows are also drinking and then we're giving them bows to shoot.
I mean, they're drinking anyway, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, not everybody. I mean, if you give them free drinks, they definitely will.
It's true. Yeah, it's also true. I mean, I was drinking the whole time. It's like you finish up the bow thing and go grab a beer.
I was good last little cooler year, other than my stupid stroke foot that really yeah, right. pained me. That sucked.
Yeah, that sucked.
No, I was pretty good. Except for, I think it was the second night I tore it up a little bit. But I remember it's one of those times when you're like walking back somewhere.
Yeah, right.
And you're a little stumbly bumbly, and you're like, uh-huh. Ooh, okay.
Time right. for bed.
Where you yeah, have right. to, like, actively, like, walk nice and straight, you know?
Right, yeah.
When you at least I wasn't so bad that I didn't notice. You know, then yeah. you've gone way past the edge. Right,
yeah.
At least when you're on the edge, like, ooh, I'm a little stumbly, and you, like, straighten up, like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, you've been, like, hanging around, basically standing still for an hour, drinking around a fire, but then eventually you're walking, and it's dark, and you're like, walking straight. I'm right, trying to walk straight.
Gave me a shot of something, and I did this, and then I drank this, and then I had two of those tall IPAs. I was at about 35%. Yeah. But the rest of
and then Matt gave us a beer and RAR and then
yeah that was good fun though. All right, well yeah, we'll talk about that. We really got off on a tangent, but
yeah,
that's fun stuff to think about.
Yeah, we just started shooting a new video last night in the shop.
We
first
put out a shop. Brand new video.
We did. Oh yeah, totally. The very first video in the shop. Or well, I guess I've done other shorts, but that's like a full. A full thing, a idea.
Full 21-second short.
That was good. It was really good. Did. Yeah, it was great. And like, it flowed really well. It was fun. You know, I can and like, I knew your vision when you were talking about it. So we posted a short. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out on Instagram and on YouTube.
It won't take long.
No, 21 seconds, but it's the a pro tip for a shop fan. And yeah, check it out. But I liked your vision. You know, you had that vision of like. You know, this shot, snap, shot, like click, 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 doing all the stuff, mm-hmm. setting it up, and then, you know, and then like playing with the balloon.
Yeah, really, it worked out nice.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like you said, there was like, you had it so the ending would wrap into the beginning again, which it did really well. You know, mm-hmm. so the ball comes right at you, and then it's like, that's magical, or whatever, and then it like starts off. Yeah, that was fun. And yeah, I like that phrase could be the end or the beginning. You know, like it was magic. Perfect. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things now, you kind of have to tease the best part of your short in the beginning of the short.
Right.
It's like what people do.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it makes sense because people are constantly scrolling. So you have to hit them with the best thing mm-hmm. right away. You can't build up anymore.
Yeah. Right.
So I have to show like you had to show something. Like, yeah. So, like a floating balloon, and you going, it's magic. Was that, that was just you talking, like, being like, you know, you were being just like goofy, like, ooh, you were doing that type of stuff. Then you're like, ooh, it's magic. So I put that in, and then, nice, yeah. Hey, yeah, I was really happy with it. It's fun to do, like, such a concise,
yeah,
you know, anything. When someone asks you to do a small project, it can be just as, like, fun. Like, oh, yeah, it's cool, but you really, like, okay, my job is to tighten it up.
Right, yeah.
So I'm constantly trying, like, cut that, and then a bunch of those shots were sped up. Very, like, slight, but it was, like, 110, 115% just to give it a little bit more snap.
Right, nice.
And then, there's just a bunch of shots you, like, messing around with it. Like, you tossing it.
Uh-huh.
And then, and then you missing it, which...
Yeah, like, trying
was,
to hit it.
I was like, that's kind of funny. But it was cool because you missed it and it flew and then it readjusted stayed. Back.
Yeah, right.
I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. You get to see how like surprisingly stable it is.
Right, yeah.
And then you hit it and it kind of zooms into the thing and then zooms out and you're back to the
beginning. Yeah. Yeah, there's something fun about like a real concise short form like video. Like like I said, when I started doing it, whatever, 2 summers ago, and I was like, let me try doing this thing where I can show like a how-to process, but really quick, you know, show all the key elements, like 2 or 3 seconds per shot. There was something interesting about that. Like just a fun way to kind of work your way through. And that was my holdout on it was that it just like, wasn't enough information. I didn't feel like if I was going to put out something, it was either going to be just some information about like 1 or 2 photographs, or it was going to be the full video. But like the shorts, I just didn't feel like as a maker content creator, they didn't have enough substance. And then, you know, I saw someone do one where it was like 1 minute and 10 seconds long or something, but it really like walked through a process and you could see all the little steps. So it wasn't like really a how to, but it was these are the changes that happen and like, capture all those changes in just like a few second clips, and then you can see the whole process. You can see it happening from, you know, beginning to end. And I thought that was kind of cool.
So. And for, I will say for Instagram, not as much for YouTube, it can grow an audience with one big short.
Right.
You know, you could, if all of a sudden a short goes viral, then you would like, you could double your followers in a day. Mm-hmm. Like it's crazy.
Definitely.
Not that it does much, but it, you know, it's all good. It's all taking up. That's nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just all like followers are just more eyes on what you're doing.
It's just something else to do. I was talking with Caitlin saying like, we should. I want to do that every time we shoot. If we can think of something,
right,
for you and me to take 10 minutes. Right. Go something goofy, or it doesn't have to be that serious, or it could be a tool that you like.
Yeah,
I'll just pull out the DJI and we'll shoot 10 minutes and be like, oh cool, we got a short. It's just something. Yeah. Then we just know like, oh, we got something we can put out like tomorrow no matter what.
Yeah, right.
And it's just people seeing you in the shop and you doing things and supplementing until we put out the one every 1 or 2 months. Like,
yeah. And that's like what you've been doing as well with the videos. Like we'll put the video out and then we'll put out a few shorts over the next like
couple weeks. That too. Like we just got to keep like that in the loop as well. So as we're making them, do little silly things.
Yeah.
And then even if it's explaining what you've done that day.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Like I got my handle material or I got this or I just hung the axe head, blah, 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 blah.
Right, or like I'm using this tool. Let me show you about it. You know, like how we did with the Shinto Rasp. It was like the Shinto Rasp is a super cool tool. Yeah, you know, something like that, right? Like
just to continue to exist.
Yeah,
right. You know, in people's in mind.
Yeah, in their eyeballs.
Yeah,
right.
But no, that was cool. Nice, and you're doing the
workbench. Yeah, and it's exciting because. That workbench is like the heart of the shop, you know, that back workbench, the one in the middle as well, but really the one behind me, it's like that is the, what Adam Savage calls like the first order of retrieval or whatever, you know? So it's like what things should be there because those are the things I use most often and I reach for the most often. That's one of the things that I'm like a little, sad about is that I don't have as easy access to the rafters above my head like I did in the old shop, because there was a lot of stuff there. All my clamps, everything was right there above my head, right above the benches. So like I was never more than like, you know, a half a step in arm's reach away from a clamp. They were always right there. Mm-hmm. And so like I'll have to figure something else for that. You know, but then also like, you know, always knowing where the shinto rasp was and always knowing where the scrapers were and the whatever, like all the stuff, screwdrivers, they're all in that like area that's right there. That's like my most used stuff, and things have changed over the years a little bit. And, you know, like I kept like a thing of screws like right on the bench, 'cause it was like the screws I used all the time, you know? So they're always right there. So, I mean, I'm excited to build it. I'm excited to like keep some things the same, but also maybe change some stuff, think about what makes sense, you know, in the new like arrangement of the shop.
Yeah.
Because the position of stuff made sense in the old shop, like where the vise was at the end of the bench, that made sense in that shop, 'cause it was like, there was space going out to that side, the left side. Mm-hmm. But now there's like a corner there, so maybe it doesn't make as much sense right there. I was just thinking about that today, like right now I have the grinder bench right there, but I'm thinking like maybe it makes sense for me to put the grinder bench on the other side under the window and have like a little bit more room there. Mm-hmm. And maybe like the shelves and then the spaces there. I don't know. So I'm trying to think about that, like what do I use the things for, like, you know, if I'm like, I use the vise obviously all for all sorts of different stuff, but I use a lot for bow making and for axe handle shaping, right? So I need like to be able to use like a kind of a long area. So do I move the vise to the other end of the bench, you know, where it's like more to the outside or to the door, I have some room there, or do I just like put the vise in a different spot? Like, I don't know, you know, or is it like one vise goes there on the end of the bench, and then I have another vise somewhere else that's specific for like bow making and axe handle making or something, you know?
I will say you do the most work on the vise and the grinders, but those are your two main spots.
Yeah, right.
And we're always shooting at that vise, and then I think grinders are probably second to it.
Right.
So yeah, you need a good spot, because that's good where you spend.
Yeah.
And I think it is nice to be on the bench because you have access to all your files and whatever shinto rasp and whatever else. I think you need it close to your main bench,
right?
For sure.
Yeah, and I'm thinking like, I'm so used to it being on that end of the bench, like I still like that.
Yeah,
but maybe the grinder bench should be somewhere else, right? Maybe like something in maybe that, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, so maybe like the metal cabinets are there, but then that would block the window, so I don't know. Maybe something else is there, like I could bring the drill presses over into that spot because they're not as deep, right? So they can kind of sit against the window there. I could have the drill presses and then move the metal cabinet and put the grinder bench like in the middle, and the metal cabinet goes on the end or something. So I don't know if anybody has, if you're listening and you have like some shop organization tip that you like absolutely love and you're like, oh, you should think about this, like always put your blah, blah, blah next to the blah, 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 you know, like a lot of, it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, yeah. You know, and I love that when I'm watching videos of people like doing shop stuff, they're like, you know, I want this to go here because I'm always doing these two things together. You know, it's like,
yeah. I like hot tip.
Yeah, right.
Well, exactly. I saw one on Instagram, totally unrelated, real quick. It's when you're saying no to someone, if they ask, hey, you want to do this, or and you want to say no.
Yeah.
Start with no and then the explanation and compliment. Don't start with the compliment and then give them a but.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. It's true. And I felt the sting of that before when someone's like, oh yeah, that sounds great, blah, blah, blah. You know, they talk it up.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, when someone's like, you're like, all right, but, you know, you're like, you're waiting for it. Uh-huh. And the but erases all the good stuff they said before that.
Yeah.
But you know, I just can't tonight.
Yeah. Right.
So what you do is you start with the hard stuff right away.
Yeah.
Like, no, I can't tonight, but that does sound awesome.
Yeah. We should think about this.
I definitely want to go. Let's go. How about next month?
Yeah, right.
You're ending on the high point, which is that's a good hot tip for letting people down. So start with the harshest part of what you're going to say if you want to say no to them.
Build them back up.
No, I can't do your bow shoot. I don't want to shoot the bows. but it sounds awesome.
Sounds
I'll
awesome.
Be there. I'll come hang out. I'll come hang out.
I'll come get a drink.
Then yeah. you're like, yes. Instead of, oh man, a bow shoot would be great. But no, I can't. I can't.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's good. I like it. Yeah. I was thinking one of the things that I always have done, and which I like, is a shop tip. You know, hot take is to make sure that your vise obviously is like on a leg, or if it's not, you know, what I like is to extend it out over the end of the bench and then put a metal leg underneath of it. So you got like all that support. Like you never want it like just floating. You never want it like on a spot that's not unsupported below it. Cause you know, all that pressure, you want to have like really good, solid, you know, connection to the floor. So wherever the vices live, there has to be a leg underneath of it. Strong leg, which actually we talked about a little bit, was putting a leg in the middle in the front, you know, to add some more support to the bench. So, but, yeah. I don't know. It's exciting. You know, like I like the size. It's going to be 8 feet, which I think the last bench was. I never really measured it, but you know, it makes sense because, you know, standard plywood or standard whatever dimensional lumber comes in 8 feet. So it'll be 8 feet by 30. I was originally thinking that the space between the two benches would be 30 inches, but my rubber mats that I like having there are 34 inches. Oh. So I was like, well, there you go. That's the size.
Yeah. It's, so,
yeah,
just that your workbench was definitely bigger than the center table.
Right. Yeah.
So whatever the center table was plus a few feet.
Right. Yeah. You know, right. Kind of exactly.
Maybe on either side. Right. That yeah. That's what it was for sure. You know.
Right. Yeah. So right, because that center table has like the legs are probably at like maybe 4 feet apart, and then there's an extra foot on either end. So it's probably a 6 foot bench.
So eight is probably perfect.
Yeah, right. And then the 30 inches deep. I think that's probably similar to what my last one was, but I was kind of trying to figure that measurement out and thinking about, I was looking up and I was doing some research on like standard dimensions and stuff. And someone, one of the things that I wasn't thinking about actively, but I, you know, was like important to me was if you have something on the opposite side of your bench should be narrow enough that you can reach across without too much strain. Right. Mm-hmm. So like I have the pegboard hanging behind the bench, so it can't be like a super deep bench because then you're reaching all far to get stuff on the pegboard. Right. So that's what I was like trying to figure out that measurement. And I was like, well, maybe I was thinking like 3 feet, and then I was like, well, that seems maybe too big. So I was kind of going back and forth. And then my middle bench is 29 inches. So I was like, well, that makes sense. I'll do 30 inches. And then I'll have the extra, like, what's that? Extra 18 inches or something on those pieces of plywood that I'll be able to use for shelves above it. So that'll be good. I got a super awesome deal on plywood through Facebook Marketplace.
Oh yeah.
It's just a company that was, you know, I think it's a company that buys wood wholesale, and then they use it for their company, but then occasionally they have just pieces that aren't high quality enough, or there's like small damage and stuff to them that they don't use them, so they resell them. So I got 9 sheets of 4x8 foot 3/4 ply finished ply for $22 a sheet or something like that. So it was that's like sweet. It ended up being just over $200, like $206 or something for 9 sheets.
Yeah, that's some thick stuff you got.
Yeah, the 3/4 ply. I mean, 3/4 ply right now is, if you buy like the shitty 3/4 ply, it's $50 a sheet. Mm. You know, and then like finished ply, which this was all like really nice finished ply, like smooth surface, is like $80 a sheet. So I was like, oh, it's awesome. And the guy who was there like gave me a card. He gave me his card. He's like, if you need anything, just let me know. He's like, I can kind of basically get anything. I'm like, sweet. Nice. Because, I mean, they're like, you know, a whole, like a company that does, you know, construction and stuff. So they had all sorts of stuff in their warehouse, but they had a bunch of like stacks of plywood, you know, 1/2 inch and 3/4 inch that were, you could tell they were kind of on the side. They were the ones that they kind of just sell off on the side. So, but yeah, that was sweet. And it took me a couple days to get it because I was like, I had messaged the person. So Nicole actually found it because we were looking for plywood because it's for the subfloor in the kitchen. And so we were like looking for the plywood and we were looking around Facebook Marketplace and stuff and looking for different deals on plywood. And she found one. It was like half inch. And I was like, well, I really, you know, we're kind of looking at the thickness of the wood that we're pulling up the old subfloor and it's 3/4. And so I was like, really, I want to come up to 3/4. So it's flush, you know, put the tile on and the tile's only, you know, it's not even 1/8 of an inch thick. So it'll be sitting up on top, but it'll just be slightly raised. And so then we're looking and then she finds like 3/4 ply and she's like, well, this is OSB. And then she finds another one that's 3/4 ply that's finished. But then we like looked at it and all three of those places selling it were all the same.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Place. You know, it was like all... Right. Not, I can't remember if it was under the same name, but it was at the same address. You know, it was like address downtown in Baltimore. And we're like, oh, these are all the same. This must be just like a company that's selling stuff off. So I messaged them. I actually called the guy and he was like, yeah, you can come down. And I was like, well, can I come? You know, whatever, I forget what it was, like the next day. It's like, sure. So after work the next day, I realized I wasn't going to be able to get there when I could not, you know, when I said I was there. So I called him and he's like, that's fine, no problem. So he's like, you know, can you come back tomorrow night at this time? And I was like, that's perfect. So, you know, after I got off work and I gave him a call and I'm like, all right, well, I'll be there, you know, in whatever, 10 minutes. He's like, okay, well, he's like, my guy who will be able to help get them all down, whatever, is not here. Can you come back in like 1.5 hours? And that was like a night that I was sailing. I was like, ugh, no, I can't. I can't be there in 1.5 hours because I need to be, you know, on the boat in 45 minutes or whatever. So I was like, well, what about tomorrow morning at like 8 o'clock? And he was like, oh, that's perfect. We'll be here at 7:30. So I went and third time's a charm, went, it was great. You know, they had like 5 or 6 guys that were all there and they all just pulled them out and, you know, pulled out a bunch and put them loaded right in my truck. And I'd originally, when I called and talked to the one guy the day before, he was like, yeah, they're like $23 a sheet or $22.99. I was like, all right, cool. And then when I got there, I talked to the other guy and he's like, yeah, these are, you know, normally $31 a sheet or something. I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. I was like, the guy I talked to yesterday said $23, but I was like, whatever, $31, same, you know, it's still super cheap compared to everything else. I was like, that's fine. And so they started loading him up and he went, he was talking to the woman and whatever. He's like, okay, you can come around here. We'll ring you up. And he's like, I'm going to give him to you for 23. I was like, oh, sweet. Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, it was great. So we ended up using, like, I bought 9, but I only needed 5, I guess, for the thing. So I've got 4 sheets, to use in the shop, which I was like, when I bought them, I was like, okay, I think I need like 6 or 7. So I'll get 8. Maybe I'll get 9, you know, like, yeah. At that deal, I was like, just give me another sheet and I can use it for other stuff. So right. I was like, there's plenty of things like shelves and things I need to put in the house. I need to do, like, you know, there's stuff around the house that needs to be done and in the shop. So I was like, there'll be definitely uses for it. So, but yeah, so it was good. So got the wood for cheap and that'll be my top. So I have these nice like ply and I'll do 2 sheets. So it'll be 1.5 inches thick, glued and screwed together for the top of the bench. And that'll be at 34 inches, which is the same as the other bench. And 8 feet wide and 30 inches deep. So I'm excited. That'd be cool.
It'd be sweet.
It is going to be sweet. I'm almost like, you know, it'll have that kind of new bench feel where I don't want to like mess it up for a while. But, you know, you got to remember that's just, you know, I was actually thinking about maybe figuring out a way to refinish the top of the middle bench too, because that's got that just like sheet of, you know, MDF or something that's kind of not really attached very well. And
right.
I don't know. We'll see. But
yeah, I mean, really, I mean, you never did that much work on the bench itself.
Right.
Other than the vice. Like,
right. At least not like...
You weren't banging on stuff necessarily. No, I mean, you were doing stuff. Yeah. It's always kind of hanging off of it. And then the middle bench is where you would do your majority of your actual...
Yeah. And, you know, it was like over the years, right? As like once we had a dedicated grinder bench, then all the grinders went there. Because before that, we would like grind on that bench, you know, or I would screw something down to it and use it there or like, you know. So it was like as things had a better place, that was able to become more of like a transitional space, which, you know, I like it as that, you know, because I would work on it and I'd do stuff there, but I'd also then work, I'd work hand in hand between the two benches, which is always nice to have the two, you know, had a bunch of tools there. So I'm like, if I'm like working the device, I have tools right at hand. And if I'm at the chop saw, I have some space there. And it was just that extra room to be able to put stuff and keep stuff, almost like a giant tool table.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm excited. It's cool. I'm excited to have it there and have two shelves. And as soon as I get shelves above it and get the pegboard up, then I can unload boxes. And the more boxes that are unloaded, then I'll have more room. And then, you know, move my way around the shop and figure stuff out. But it's cool just to be back in and be shooting in the new shop. I'll have to figure out the lighting. Because once I get power there, which I'm thinking this Sunday I want to do, try to put that trench in and at least get the trench dug and get the conduit across so I can get power over there.
Right.
Once I get that power in, I was just thinking of like, do I want a dedicated switch that's just lights, you know, that I can, like, I don't necessarily need the rope lights. I could actually put up can lights and things like, I don't know. Like, I like the look of the lights because they're like warm bulbs. They have a good look to them, but we'll see. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, the robots lights are nice. I mean, I don't know if you'd have to get another strand because it's like a bigger area.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, they kind of wind their way. Maybe I'll try to figure out the actual, like, how long it actually is and see what makes sense. Because in the basement shop, it was like we just started hanging them up. You know, it was like, we need light all over. So let's just like run these lights and kind of have them all spread out as much as we can. And they kind of zigzag back and forth a few times and we had lots of lights hanging everywhere.
Yeah.
But, it's a different, like we're using like before, even though the whole basement was based similar, probably of like actual square footage, the active area that we were using was only the front 2/3 of it, you know? So it wasn't like there weren't tons of those lights in the back, you know? So there's only that like 15 by, you know, 18 or something, or 12 by 18 or something. So,
right. Maybe. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You also could get a new strand set of, you know, whatever. You could even,
right,
get like a black cord so you don't see the cords up there, you know,
right,
but it still kind of ran, and then you put nice warm bulbs in it.
Right. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
You know,
that's the thing. Do I get a bunch of like, you know, LED, big, like long LED bulbs that can be like different temperature? And, you know, I'm just thinking of like, if, you know, I want it to be an, like an effective shop as well as a recording studio, you know, like a video studio. It's gotta be both.
Right.
So like, I want the warm lights, 'cause that's the good look. But you know, when I'm working on something, I want as much light as possible.
Like, well, so. Yeah, but that's what I think you have like the small lamps for.
Yep. I'll have them too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll
like
see
you don't want it bright, like a garage. I mean like a, bike garage, I mean a car garage.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like if it was just a shop, I would say like as much light as possible. It could be all bright, you know, just I have plenty of light in there. But it's not just a shop. It's also a recording, you know, video studio.
Yeah.
It will be as long as we want to continue to shoot, which I don't foresee us stopping anytime soon unless we have to, but
yeah.
And there's also like a warmth to the space too. Like I want to be in there and I want it to feel like a warm space, you know? So it's got to have like some nice lighting and, you know, it already has like the walls and stuff are wood, not, you know, not drywall, you know? So it has that warm color to it. It already has like a warm feel to it. So I don't want to blow that out with like crazy bright white lights, but I could also, you know, I want to also have good lighting in different spots. Like, so we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I have a lot of clamp lights and I have a lot of string lights, but that's just because like that's what made sense in the shop before. But maybe it doesn't necessarily make sense now, where I'm actually putting in a electric panel and I can run a circuit that's just lights, and I can just have it on a light switch, hit them all, and they all come on, and it lights up the shop. But that could also all be just a whole bunch of different lights that are all some warm, some cool, like just a good mix that makes the shop feel correct.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. But it's fun stuff. One of the other things I need to think about, like I talked about the vice position, like is that going to go on the end of the bench? The other thing I got to think about is the axe hanging system. Like what I'm going to do with my axes.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't just want to have them, you know, like it worked in the last shop because I had like a small section that I could hang, you know, whatever, 20 axes or something. And those are all the ones I use the most often. And then I kind of hung other axes up in the rafters for like ones that people have made me, ones that I was working on, ones that were, you know, special. And then I had the bucket that were like extra heads and a few extra, you know, things. So I had like spaces for it, but I need to figure out how I'm going to do that now. Cause that was a decent amount of space that was like allotted for, for axe stuff, which is what I have a lot of. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, like hanging in between, you know, in between wall joists or whatever, what rafters or whatever. Is that what it is? Rafters. What's the verticals? Joists or the floors? Beams, rafters, rafters are the top. Roof. Right. Yeah. Joists, wall. I don't know. But,
you could split it. You could split the second half of your shop into two.
Okay.
By doing some type of...
Go on.
some type of wall in between. Some type of half wall. Where you do put a couple verticals... A couple verticals up. And then half planking. Almost like a pallet type of deal.
Yeah, right. I got you.
Because then you have, they can hang, you have all that room on either side to hang stuff... So you give yourself another two set of walls.
Right, yeah.
And then you don't even need a door. You know, you could just have it kind of, you know, a little, whatever, let's say 6-foot section.
Right.
That goes straight up to the top, and you have two spots to hang stuff. And then it kind of separates the areas as... Whatever you wanted, whatever is left, you wanted it to be like, this whole side is, I've got the axe one, I've got this, and I've got grinders, or I've got the drill press and or whatever.
Right.
That might be some, because then you don't necessarily have to move quickly, and it would still, you'd still have the, like, let's say the shop's a square, you'd still have the outside to go around freely, like if it's a track.
Right.
And just that one little spot would have...
Or maybe really, it's just like half of the... Like it's a wall coming off the back wall, you know, like 8 feet or something.
Or that too, yeah, right.
So then it's just like... Then you have that wall that you have stuff on either side of, and it kind of creates two spaces. And,
and you
can hang more stuff. Yeah, maybe something like that, yeah. Yeah.
Because then you just do some ply. And like you said, do like a half wall. You don't have to, obviously, not drywall. Not, you could just plank it out.
Yeah,
and even,
right.
Even put gaps in between it. But you could hang a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, studs. That's the word. Wall studs. Yeah.
That'd be kinda
and then
cool.
That could be like, you know, that one little corner could be like the, once I get the fire, the wood stove in there, which I want to get, you know, a little corner with a wood stove and some axes and be like,
ooh, your little chill area.
evening chat time with Dustin, the artist.
Right, that's where you do your
live streaming.
Your live streams.
Do the podcast out there.
That'd be kind of cool. Right, have a little circle table right back there.
Yeah, right. You like the beer fridge and stuff.
Oh,
you
know? See, hey, now we're cooking.
A little lounge area. Having like a good chair in the shop, it would be good. You know, like somewhere to sit down and think and like, you know, post something or whatever. Like Adam Savage got that leather chair.
So then, it would be like a separate corner room.
Right. Because I always would like, you know, I'd go down the shop and... Like, I'd be working on something, but I'd have to stop and, like, look something up. So I'd just be sitting on the stool, you know, or whatever, hanging out or...
That'd be cool. Yeah, because then you have... Comfy chair. You have, like, axes and a small table. Yeah, where you could maybe podcast if you had people over.
Right, right.
You could have a small table.
Yeah, for like if the guys come over, we shoot like the Four Brothers podcast. You know, we can do it.
That'd be neat.
Table.
That's a thought.
All right. We're getting somewhere. I kind of like that. It's like, you know, all the space is so valuable. You know, it's like it's everything. I feel like any decision has to be really like contemplated because it's like it is a relatively small amount of space. So,
right. You know, so you could really, but yeah, you could hang your axe collection and maybe you'd have to figure other things that maybe you'd want to see up on the wall.
Right. Yeah. Because that could be like, that could be the.
Just wait, something there to grab it. You know, I have all my, like, a wall of axes and heads and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Would be nice to have them there. And it's also just a nice look.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you could, you could even do a, like, that would be a section that you could also, like, keep wood or whatever. But then. I mean, you could have like a drop down table, so you wouldn't have to have a table there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a, like what do you call it, a fold away bed, you know?
Right.
Where it's a little 6 foot, right? You know, and it's got a, one leg that drop, you know, like pops down. You know what I mean? Right.
Yeah.
So then you could like drop it, and you would have another 6 foot table to work on as well.
I'm
grinding or painting or something, you know, like a little area, and then also it's a podcast area and it's whatever else.
Cool. I kind of like that. And then I'd still have like the majority of that space because that could just be like the corner, you know. Right. And if it's like say it's like a 6 by 8 foot kind of somewhat space, you know, then. Then I have, you know, I don't know, we'll see. Yeah. I kind of like that. That's cool. I could see that happening. I could see that working.
Even if you don't do that, I think maybe, having a little 6 foot wall or 5 or 4 foot wall come out in the middle of that other section is an idea. Because you can hang a lot of stuff off of it.
Yeah, because, I mean... Wall space is valuable, I think.
Yeah.
You know, again, like all there's like value to all the space, so it all has to be like contemplated. But yeah, the more real like wall real estate is good real estate.
Right.
Whether that's more shelves or hanging things or nails, you know, it's like every bit of wall space is always used. So there's like no empty wall space. Right. There's literally no empty wall space in the last shop, which is good. Cool. You want to do some May for Maker stuff?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, so we talked a little bit about...
specific you want to hit on?
We talked a little bit about like checking out some people's stuff and shouting some May for Makers contributors. So if you guys don't know what May for Makers is, May for Makers is hosted by Luke and Priscilla Smith from PL Smith. They also run the Instagram page And They Make, which is a page dedicated just to highlight other makers. And so they host May for Makers each year. This is the fourth year, I think, that they've been doing it. And they give a month-long list of prompts. So each day there's like a little prompt so you can respond to the prompt and post something about yourself. And it's just a way for more makers to get out there and get some information and also to like, you know, for people to meet people. And they started it during COVID when they just felt a little boxed in and they just needed to kind of have some more communication with the maker world. And it was a good way to start it. So.
You've used a couple of my posts for your you're like, perfect. Yeah. I'll have that.
I know it was perfect time. Yeah, last night I was like laying in bed, getting ready to go to bed, and I hadn't posted one. I was like, oh, that's good. I like that picture. I'll just use that. It's a good May for Makers post.
Yeah, it was a good thinking picture.
Yeah, right. That's good. And I was actually thinking about what I wanted to do for today's May for Makers, and it's a POV. Like, the prompt is, what is it? It's like POV. This is the project I just finished or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I didn't really just finish anything. Wait, let me see what it is. I'll tell you specifically. So today is May 23rd and the prompt for May 23rd is 3, 2, 1. I'm getting there. Sorry. I'm scrolling back through my pictures because I took pictures of each of the days. Or not each of the days, but all the things. POV, you just finished _. And so I was like sitting here getting ready for the podcast. I was playing with the little tape measure that I put the sticker on. So I'm going to do like that. Like I just finished customizing this little tape measure because I thought it looked cool. And so it'll be that, you know, just like kind of one of those things. I'll talk about the Stanley, like the post is about the Stanley tape measure being like the right size and the right weight. And it feels really good. I think, what Laura Kampf but within the last few months or 6 months or so, she's making the like hanging clip that holds the tape measures she's been working on.
Yeah.
And I think she does the Stanley 16 footer. Mm. So it's like the other little one. And she talked about how it was just like the right one. And, but then when I like felt that the one that Mark brought over and I bought this one, it's like, it feels so good. It's like such a nice little size. So,
yeah.
So the post will be about that. But yeah, I wanted to like shout out a couple makers who've been participating. Ones that I've seen more often, like, Mike from Big Bear Custom Metal. He's been posting a lot, on his, he just posted one for day 23. He says, day 23, I just finished. And he says, as a maker, I have the privilege of this being a hobby that occasionally makes me some side money. That said, I'm always doing things around the house, dump runs, lawn work, garden, beds, camping, etc. I haven't really been in my shop in weeks. Last project I did finish, I was lucky enough to have my last gazebo fall victim to a freak April snowstorm. So I went metal roof. So he posted a picture of his gazebo all crushed. Mm-hmm. And then he did the metal gazebo like we did at Mom and Dad's. Mm-hmm. That same like metal roof type of thing. So I'll have to like message him about like how annoying it was to get all his pieces together. But it looks really good, you know. So it
took so long.
Yeah, I know. But I like Mike. He posts a lot of stuff, and he also will kind of like, he'll elaborate. So I just read the first like paragraph from his thing, but he's got like more. So each day he kind of like expounds a little bit on why what he's thinking about, and he's like a little bit more poetic. So it's really nice. Like kind of go through and read what he does.
Was it him who did the beer exchange?
That's him.
Camp?
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So he's been posting a lot. Silver Hair and Sawdust. She has been posting. I like her description for her like self as empty nest hobbyist woodworker, mom of 2+2, and Fargo the Terrible. Gardening, renovating, refreshing, and constantly learning with Tim in PA. She early on in MaferMaker, she was liking and commenting on some of the posts I was doing. So I started following her stuff. So it was kind of nice to see her work as well. She does some really nice woodworking and just has like a positive vibe. So it's really nice seeing her stuff too.
Nice.
Who else? Griffin Makes. I've seen a lot of his stuff. He posts a lot of stuff for MaferMaker. So his pops up. So each year I follow the hashtag MaferMaker. So, you know, following the hashtag should pop those things up in my feed, as well as like following a person in Instagram. But, each year I follow that year's MaferMaker. So right now it's like hashtag MaferMakers 2025. So following that. So, you know, and each year I'm like, I either like see new people that I hadn't seen before, or I am kind of reintroduced to people that I know, but I haven't followed as much, you know? So like, I know them from Maker Camp, but they're kind of like just acquaintances enough that it's not in my brain to be like, you know, see things and follow. So each year I kind of add a few more people on. Sean, my buddy Sean, Crafting Life I Want. He made it. How far did he make it? He didn't, he stopped on like, where's his last one? Day 12. He made it as far as day 12 this year. It's better than the past.
It's pretty good.
But, he was like, I'm going to keep going. Like, each day he was posting. He's like, this is the furthest I've got. Keep going. I keep telling him, like, just post. It doesn't matter if you missed a bunch of days. Just post now. Like,
right.
Post for day 23. Post for day 28. Post for day 31. Like, you know, the whole point is just it gets you, like, thinking about posting more often. And I've missed a couple of days this month. I don't hold myself to having to do every single one. I try to because it's fun. You know, it's a fun way to, like, think about it. But if I'm busy or if the prompt isn't inspiring or I don't have a good thing for it. Like, one day I just posted something random that wasn't one of the prompts. I was just like, May for Makers this day, and this is what I'm posting today because it's May for Makers day 25 or whatever, you know. Right. And I was actually inspired to do that by Mark Adams. He's been posting every day, but just like pictures of makers. He's not following the prompts. He's just like, May for Makers day 15. Here's another group of makers, you know? Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah. You can just say it's May for Makers and we're going to post every day. So there's something cool to be up there. But,
Yeah. No, right on. We should do a podcast with them in a week or two.
Yeah.
And do a wrap up. Because we did. Was it last year that we...
Yep. Yeah, we did last year and the year before.
But we didn't do a wrap up. We did like a, hey, before May for Makers is coming.
Right. Yep.
So maybe we'll do like a wrap up. And those are, I think, if not just as fun, more interesting.
Yeah. Right.
You can kind of recap how it went. And And we haven't had them on in a while.
Yeah. No, that'd be good.
Speaking of last Maker Camp, we were like, it is tough once you become a presenter, even though I wasn't the presenter, but I was with you for a good chunk of it.
Right. Yeah.
To see everyone you want to see.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone's so busy. You're like, hey, yeah, let's do something. Let's like have coffee in the morning at somewhere. And then you don't get around to it.
Yeah. Right. Cause that's, you know, you're trying to do that with everybody, you know?
Right. Yeah. It just has to be late night stuff.
Yeah.
And people just have to be out.
Right. Yeah. And that's like the key. Right. Exactly. That's the time that you just get to hang out with people and everyone's just there chatting. And if you know, like, if you see them, you catch up with them, you know, but like if you were there and they were there and you didn't talk, then that's like, okay, that's on everybody. You know, it's like, oh, we just didn't get a chance. You know, we were talking to everybody else. Was it Keith Drennan from Working Hands Podcast? You know, he and I talked about like, you know, hey, let's make sure we, you know, talk a little bit this year at Maker Camp. Cause we usually do like occasionally there's like some conversations, but like this year he was super busy. Everyone's busy. And like, yeah, everyone's busy. Everyone's doing something. And then, you know, afterward, people were like, oh man, I wish I would have had more time to chat with you. Let's try to do it next year.
Yeah. Like, we need I don't know. I don't know. We just need like a meeting place for everyone. We know. Right. Just a kick to start off.
Yeah.
Because we all kind of wander. It's like, hey, we're going to be by this thing.
Right, exactly. And there's enough like little nooks and stuff. You know, there's the fire pits.
Just keep telling everyone, hey, Saturday night, we're all going to be here at 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
right. And then from there, then you wander.
Yeah, right.
Because there were points where I would be last year where like I was standing there and we were like talking, but then I didn't see anyone around that I knew.
Right. Yeah.
Which made, I was like, wow, there are a lot of people here. Cause I like know no one.
Yeah.
Like,
and then you just like end up talking to somebody
and then,
new.
Yeah. Then which I mean, is that, fine, and that's a part of it, but it's also,
yeah. But like, that's when you're like, oh, I wish I saw this person. Cause I had this kind of quote unquote downtime, you know, or like a conversation ends, you look around and there's like, oh, okay, now where's this, like this person that I wish that was here right now. So we could chat, you know, catch up.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe, I know. Well,
that's another. Things, I was going to say that's another thing. If we have the bow shoot area closer to stuff or facing out at stuff, and we had a bunch of hay bales and some tiki torches or
something, yeah,
we could have an area. Hey, we're going to be here like after the shoot for like an hour or two. Like, I'd love to see you come by. We're gonna be hanging out there for a little bit, and then we're gonna wander.
Yeah. Right. And that was like, I heard that from people too. Like they were like, oh man, I wish I would have had a chance to make it over to the bow shoot, you know, but I was doing something else. You know?
Well, but also, yeah, we'll close the bow shoot up because then we'll just be working.
Yeah. Right. Right. Or you just like, you know, or you leave the lights on and just let people shoot. You're like, oh, you can keep going. I'm not going to give direction anymore, but you can, people want to shoot, keep shooting.
That's true. We need some.
I'll be there to like, you know,
you need some, we need to get some cheapo bows or something. Yeah.
Right.
Just then that you can let people shoot those. So then you're not worried. Some fiberglass, right. Not fiberglass, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it could be fiberglass bows. It could just be, you know,
just have two of those. Like,
right.
We can pitch in our money and buy two of those for
I don't know
how much they are, but they can't be that.
Yeah. Expensive. I mean, and you could probably get like, you know, two like 20-pound bows and then like two 45-pound bows or something, you know, like, you know, just have them there and people can just like, you know, I'm sure they're not that expensive, you know, just kind of basic, you know, fiberglass or wood long bows, you know, I can get them for, I would imagine, you know, 50 or 60 bucks or something. So,
yeah, maybe we have, just something where we tell everyone, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, we'll be here.
Right. Yeah.
And after that, you know, Godspeed. It's every man for themselves.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to be wandering. I'm going to be stumbling somewhere.
We'll shut it down.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. But yeah, you know, definitely catching up with Luke and Priscilla. They're always fun to chat with and very like-minded. It's fun. Right, that first year we met them the first year, like around the fire and stuff. And then the second year, we were doing the sewing class with Patty, like sewing up the little bags, and Luke and Priscilla were both there. And we were like, I was like, oh, I'm glad you guys are here. Cause I like, it would be fun to catch up again. And Priscilla was like, yeah, the same thing. I'm glad you guys are here. Cause I wanted to catch up with you again. I was like, oh, cool. You know, so like, it was fun to like chat and stuff and have like, you know, the same, one of the cool things about, I don't know. It's like, I guess a lot of people at Maker Camp are close to our age, right? It's like, it's kind of, we all are in the same boat, you know, we're all like makers, but it's all people. I mean, there are younger people and there are older people, but like that kind of like 40, you know, 30 to 40 is the like right age range, you know, like people born in the 80s is kind of like the main, like that's the main group. And so you get all these little references and stuff that everyone gets.
There was,
you know,
there was definitely a younger contingent, not like younger as in 20s, but like teenagers that last year.
I think so.
I mean, like Corinne, and there were some people her age, you know, there was like girls and kids around and people like hanging out and playing games.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like there was definitely more because people are bringing their kids now.
Yeah. Right.
It's going to
be
it's going to be a wild time, like in a couple of years, like for the teens.
Right. Yeah.
Because all their parents are going to be doing stuff and they just be sneaking off.
All the
debauchery.
All the like, you know, 8 to like 13 year olds right now who aren't going because they're too young are going to be going in 2 or 3 or 4 years, you know, like it's going to be. Yeah, exactly.
Sneaking drinks. Like fun stuff. There's a million places to hide and do, be naughty.
Well, I thought it was just fun, like having Corinne be there, but be like, you know, old enough to be independent and also confident enough to be like, just pop into a conversation and play a game with somebody and do a thing. And like, you know, she's a pretty like independent child and she's also like pretty mature for, you know, for being an only child. So it's like, it wasn't that I was concerned cause I know that she's like that, but it was nice to see that too. Like it was perfect. We were perfectly fine to be hanging out and having conversation together with other people. But then also she would be like, if I was going to talk to somebody, she would like turn around and talk to someone else, you know, and like just continue the conversation or like play a game with someone or go off and find something to do. Like it was cool to see her have that, like that amount of anonymity and like her own personality, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
All right.
It's a good time, so we'll do that again this year. She'll be back with us, and we'll see how that goes. Cool. Good stuff. Turned into Maker Camp talk. Yeah. Oh, made for makers, you know, so.
Yeah.
There's been a bunch of good people posting. Vern's posting.
Oh, and I also have to take off a Ravens game again for this year, so that sucks.
Do what? Yeah. You'll have to.
The Ravens play, so I got to take off
One of the games. Yeah.
losing money before I spend my money. It's always the worst.
Well, and last year I was actually able to, well, I've all along I've been able to like take it off, you know, because I work in a job that's salary, you know, so it's like I just take it as personal leave or whatever for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. But last year I actually was able to take it as a professional development. It's called like, professional leave.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you know, as a teacher, as like an educator, if we go to like a conference or if we go to like a training or something, you know, it's a different type of leave. It's not like a personal leave. It's like the school will pay for you to do this because they see the value in what you're learning.
Yeah.
And so I just was able to put it under that. And my principal was like, yeah, sounds good. Like it is what it is. Like the sure. stuff that you learn there and the stuff we sure. do and the connections is all stuff that I do in the classroom. So
well, let's be nice.
Hey, well, you know, gotta like that salary life.
I'll be broke, so if you guys see me there, you know, buy me a drink.
All right, well, I had a whole list of things to talk about, and we got to some of them, which is good.
I'll do it next week. Well,
week. One of the things that tomorrow morning I'm driving to Ohio. That'll be cool.
Good luck. We'll get the recap next time.
Yeah, right. Cool. All right, recommendations.
Clarkson's Farm Series 4
again.
They got another year. It's been 2 years, I think. All right, it's probably a year since the last one.
Season 4
just came out. Amazon, good stuff. Cool. Always good.
Nice. My recommendation this week is Billy Strings. The musician Billy Strings. If you don't know Billy Strings, you gotta check him out. Billy is an awesome bluegrass guitar picker. He's like one of the best, and he's like in his 30s or something right now. Just like a real easygoing dude who loves to play music and has a kind of a cool story, how he grew up, and you know, his dad was a picker and he picked and playing different musics and shows and finding his way and then just like killing it in the music scene. He just does some awesome stuff and he's just such a talented guitarist. It's fun to watch him and see like the passion. So if you don't know Billy Strings, go check him out. Whether you like or dislike bluegrass or guitar music, it's amazing stuff. He's super talented. Yeah, there you go. And I was just like, I was at work today and it's Friday and my seniors are gone now. So I only have my juniors and my sophomores and they were all kind of working on projects, but those projects are wrapping up and it was prom last night. So like, I had one out of 10 juniors in my first class and I had like 5 out of 14 in my second class because a lot of them were at prom and if they went to prom, they were able to like take off Thursday and Friday because, you know, prom's like from 7 to 2 o'clock in the morning or something.
Yeah.
And if so, like, you know, eight or nine of my 20 juniors were at the senior prom with the seniors. And so they had like permission leave to be off. And so all the, like tons of other juniors were just like, well, I'm just not coming to school. You know, if all these students aren't going to be there, you know, if half the students are there, then we as teachers, it's hard to teach when like half your class is missing. So it's always like, okay, just continue what you're doing. So like yesterday I had probably a third of my students and today I had, you know, a tenth or something. So, so it was just like a chill day. So we were cleaning and reorganizing the classroom and stuff. And I just had on music, throughout the day and Billy Strings came up a couple times. I was just like jamming out to it. So Billy Strings, everybody check him out.
Cool.
It's funny. I didn't know he was as young as he was because his voice sounds a little older until I saw a video of him one time. I was like, that's Billy Strings. Weird.
He's a young looking guy.
It's like, what's the other one? Like Colton Wall or something?
Waller.
Yeah. He's got that like, that like weird deep voice, but he also sounds like he's like an 80-year-old.
Yeah. I like Billy Strings more than Colton.
I don't mind
Colton.
Yeah. No, I definitely like him better. And I like his voice better. Like I like Colton's voice. It's kind of like, it's weird and funky, but Billy Strings has a better voice just in general.
Yeah. You know, Colton his voice is too rough for his age.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to really take that type of advice from a 21-year-old dude.
Right.
Like, yeah. I was down by the family. And then, like you've never, you don't probably don't have a girlfriend or a wife or kids. You've never done anything yet. Like the wisdom sound of your voice does not
Yeah, it doesn't equate to the actual
wisdom. I know you have. you're right. Like 19. Chill. You're all right. But it is cool. I do dig it, but it's...
Yeah. But yeah, it's a little false.
It's like a bit much like for little, how... Yeah. I mean, it's like early Bob Dylan. Like, he wanted to sound like he was... Like super country, blah blah blah. But he's just a kid from New York. Like all that fake. Remember, he was very trying to be ultra southern, which he had never even lived down there. Like it's, you're not it. Yeah, you're not
putting it on.
Yeah. You're not that.
Yeah. Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. Make sure you don't forget to head over to YouTube or Instagram and check out that little short we did, Pro Tip for the Shop Fan, if you haven't seen it already. You can also check out our last video, which we did, which was the end of an era, the last video in the last shop, which kind of turned out well. I think it's got like 15,000 views or something on it, so it's doing pretty good.
Oh, nice.
And check it out and let us know what you think. Keep your eye out for stuff on Instagram with new posts about the new video, and then that'll be coming as well. So we'll have the first video building the workbench and just talking like kind of like an introduction to the new shop and just hanging out and me kind of just talking through what my plans are for the shop. So it's kind of fun. So it's like a come hang out in the new shop with us and build a bench and see where it takes us. So it'll be a fun one. If you want to support the channel, you can head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and you can support us there. And all that money that we make, all those patrons who support us help to put money back into the channel. And maybe some of that money will go toward like a case of beer or a cooler full of beer at Maker Camp this year. So if you're a patron at Patreon, then just know that whatever you are contributing is not just going to like our groceries. It's actually going back into the channel.
Yeah, I bet we could get a beer sponsor if Austin's okay with it. That'd be something, right? You talk to Austin, be like, hey, we want to have a thing. And we hang out and have a shoot with a bunch of the people, but we also want to provide some drinks.
Yeah,
do you mind if we source, you know, a thing?
Yeah, like wonder, you know,
just could get it be, like a local brewery. It could be like Big Truck or any. I mean, we have there's 50 brewers in Maryland. Yeah,
well, that's the thing. It's like, but if we're going up to New York and they're local, then like, what do they do? Is it like Union or is it Heavy Seas? You know, someone who's a little bit expanded more. You know, so
right. I mean, we can. That's something we say. Like, hey, we're doing this thing here. But a lot of these places sell a lot of East Coast.
Right. Yeah.
So we find maybe slightly bigger ones where people can still buy the stuff.
That'd be great. I mean, even if we talk to a couple different places, be like, hey, do you want to sponsor us with like a case, you know? Right. And we reach out to like Big Truck and Inverness and, you know, like whatever. Yeah. All the different ones, you know, like Union and Heavy Seas and all those like little craft brewers and stuff. Yeah. Right. And say like, hey, you know, you want to sponsor and we'll put up a little sign with all the different beer and people can try a bunch of Maryland beers.
Yeah, we have this event. Like, do you want to?
Yeah.
It's not that much. You're not, whatever, $500 worth of beer.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And if it's like one, you know, if we get like one big one who wants to sponsor all of it, you know, then we have like a nice big poster with their name, you know, like, like this is our Maryland brew of from Heavy Seas, you know, come check it out.
Right. We buy three coolers or four coolers and just once that's done, that's done.
Yeah. I like it. Cool. All right. Well, something to think about. I like where we're going with these things. I like the idea of giving out beer and hanging out and talking, sitting around on bales of hay.
Bales of hay, watching people, watching your favorite presenters shoot bows. And either it'll be fun either way. They make fools of themselves or they do really well, I think.
Yeah, right. Jeff Fader, you know, Chad from Mancrafting. Man, like Derek from Malden.
I wonder if we could get... that's pushing it. I was going to say like a video feed. You could do a small camera and then have a... we could project it or have a small TV too. if you can't see,
And you have it outside, like a projector screen showing what's happening.
Oh, inside. Yeah. And then just have a camera on the target.
Right. Yeah. So people can watch the shot. Man, or, like, you know, it's like an over the shoulder camera or something, you know? Or, yeah.
Or just, or, the, yeah, I think target. The target yeah. would be the main thing because you see whoever go in.
Yeah.
And then everyone's all waiting right. around. And you, think,
and you see it's just like, yeah, it's a big screen cheer. With a giant target on it. And yeah. you just see the arrows hitting.
Right.
Or not hitting. It was like, ah!
That would be cool. We could bring the projector and maybe, yeah. That'd be neat. That's a thought.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, let's hang on to those thoughts and think about them next time, too. And I will reach out to Luke and Priscilla and see if we can get them on in a couple weeks. So we've got, what, like another 2 weeks of May? And then...
is it a whole 2 weeks?
It's already not even a whole 2 weeks. Today's the 23rd, so we only have a week, you know.
Maybe we can get them next week.
Yeah. I'll reach out. That's what we do here on The Art of Craftsmanship. It's very off the cuff. Very like, hey, you want to join us? Come on and join. People are always like, when's this coming out? I'm like, tomorrow. Really? I'm like, yeah. That's when it comes out.
Which now is we put it out. Be, I guess, Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, I guess you don't have to get it done tonight.
Well, yeah, this one. But... Right, yeah. No, I'll put this one out, so it'll be out tonight. And actually, I'll probably just post it live as soon as I'm done. So,
all right. Cool.
Cool. All right, Dev. Everybody else, guys, thank you all so much for hanging out with us and chatting, and we will talk to you all next time.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.